lockdowns are tough. We feel socially isolated, unable to move, and our routine is shaken up completely. The Wire's Catherine Kreisel spoke to Catherine McAlpine from Inclusion Australia to see whether people with intellectual disability struggle more than others.
A lot of people with intellectual disability, by nature of their disability, have learned to be quite self-sufficient in spending time with themselves or have activities that they're happy to do by themselves. So that's not too bad, but it's the same for everyone. Spend too much time by yourself, your mental health declines.
I know a lot of intellectual disabilities require a certain amount of routine, and like all of us, that's affected with the lockdown. So you don't think it has any more of an impact than on the average person?
Oh, no, that can be a substantial impact. The change in routine can be very disruptive. If you have good support, then they would help you work to establish a new routine. And in fact, then at the end of lockdown, you've got the other challenge of moving from the new routine back to the old routine. And that can be a challenge. It's the uncertainty that people find very difficult and the lack of contact with people as well. So some people can become very, very isolated very quickly, and which can be diabolical in terms of their well-being.
It must be very hard for families and carers too. It must have a significant effect on them.
For families who have adult family members with intellectual disability, it might mean the person is now home full time, which can impact on employment and other things that the other family members might be doing. If people are accessing support, even medical appointments or whatever, through telehealth or online, often a person with intellectual disability will need support at the home end of the computer, so to speak. And so that can be complex and disruptive to other people's routines. But of course, one of the wonderful things about video conferencing is it allows people to see each other. And that certainly helps with the communication between people with intellectual disability and others, because people with intellectual disability often use a lot of social cues and use a lot of non-verbal communication, and that can be really helpful when you're trying to do it online. It's much, much better than doing it on the phone.
It must be quite challenging if people are out, given that they use visual cues with the mask situation. Do you think that worries people?
Anyone, including people with intellectual disability who are hard of hearing or deaf, if you use lip reading as part of your communication, then if you can't see the other person's lips, that's really problematic. And so we have heard a number of stories about people with intellectual disability who can't wear masks for different reasons. And you go into a store that has a no mask, no entry sign, and then you have to explain that some people are legitimately allowed to not use a mask. That's one set of complexity. And then if you actually say to the other person, actually, could you remove your mask so that I can understand what you're saying, that becomes really problematic.
We know that there's been some issues around English as a second language. I'm just wondering, with those people with special needs, whether there's been effective communications.
Firstly, it is true that the Department of Health is producing more Easy Read material than it ever has before. And the other thing that's true is Easy Read has arrived on their radar as one of the things that they need to use. However, they haven't figured out how to give the messages really plainly. So you can meet the technical requirements of Easy Read in terms of enough white space and the right font and short sentences and having images to support the words. You can meet all those technical requirements and still have a Easy Read document that cannot be understood by a person with intellectual disability. Because the rollout to people in group homes has been so appalling, people have had no communication. When might they expect a vaccine? Who might they get a vaccine from? And to be fair, there's been some service providers who have really taken the initiative, like organised a local GP or the local doctor or the state government or whoever to organise a clinic for vaccination. But it shouldn't fall on the individual providers to have to do all that work.
It must be incredibly, well, almost impossible for someone with an intellectual disability to keep up with restrictions that they're supposed to adhere to.
So one thing about having an intellectual disability can take you quite a lot of time to learn something. But often, once you've learnt it really well. The basic things that we talk about, social distancing, wear a mask, wash your hands, a lot of the people with intellectual disability that I know, they've really settled into that. Like, they've got much better, they're very careful with their hygiene. But if you have any sort of complex support needs, if you have autism and intellectual disability or you have some other complexity, then it becomes very, very hard to comply. And yes, every excursion into the community can be very stressful.
Catherine McAlpine, CEO of Inclusion Australia, ending that report by The Wire's Catherine Kreisel.